the Seagram's block of Oshawa, Ontario. I'm an idol.
Don't be scared, homie.
The world is smiling at you. The wrestling business is smiling at you. And don't you frown back on it.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
The man to hour. The man with the power. Too sweet to be sour.
Dylan Bunker.
All right, well, I'm talking to heavyweight and light heavyweight fighter. You've seen him in UFC, King of the Cage, a number of other promotions. I'm talking to Victor Valimaki. How's it going?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. I mean, I think it's a very interesting time right now because at one point you were retired from fighting. You had kind of spoken to a doctor about it and advised that wasn't, you know, something that could be done. And you've experienced a litany of medical issues. So what happened recently where you got the doctor clearance to begin training again?
Well, I've done a number on my body. I've been fighting for a long time, and for a lot of my career I did monster weight cuts, you know, obviously not the most healthy thing. So did some kidney damage, irreparable kidney damage where, I just wasn't able to train. I was getting sick all the time and on medication. And then I was supposed to fight back in October, November, I believe, and I wouldn't get medical clearance to fight. So here I am. I retired and took a lot of time off and just worked on getting better, and things are good, and I'm ready to go.
Well, that's great to hear, man, but you're kind of talking about those kidney issues, and yeah, you were cutting as much as 30 to 35 pounds of water weight in one go, right?
Yeah, exactly. I did 37 for one, and ended up in the U of A hospital for almost a month, so it's...
Wow.
I really don't recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, not surprising that happened based on the amount of weight you're cutting, but, I mean, wow, that's pretty brutal. So, yeah, I guess your plan now is to, I guess, begin training and feel things out. Do you have the intent of trying to get a fight soon, or what's the plan in regards to that?
Absolutely. Unified MMA, June 9th, I'm on the card. I don't have an opponent yet, but I've talked with Sonny several times, and it looks like it's a go-ahead.
Oh, that's super cool, man. I'm happy to hear that. I mean, your last outing was against Tanner Bozier back in 2015, so I think that would be a good promotion to get back in there with. I assume they're going to give you a high-level either, well, I guess a heavyweight competitor. I presume you're a heavyweight competitor from here on out. You're probably not making too many weight cuts to light heavyweight.
Well, the thing is, I'm walking about 225 pounds. I'm used to walking, when I fight light heavy, at about 235 to 240. So I'm already way ahead of the game. So, I'm already training. I'm already dieting. A little bit of a looser diet until I get an opponent locked down. But I should be, I should be sub 220, way before fight time. So it would be a smaller weight cut if I did light heavy. But I'm comfortable fighting at heavyweight, too. I know a lot of my training partners were heavyweights, and I'm definitely good to go bang with them, too.
Yeah, because you were sort of angling to fight Todd Stout last October when you were supposed to be on the Fight Night Medicine Hat card, but that would probably be around the time you got the initial word from doctors that it's not something you could continue on with.
Well, that's the fight that fell through because of health issues, and we were kind of wondering what was going on, and the Edmonton Commission doctor was supposed to ship all of my medicals to them, and there was just an issue with all this, and no one could figure out what happened, and it came right down to the wire where the doctors just said, I can't fight. And, I felt terrible with that one. That was a big fight, and Todd Stout's a great opponent, and, I was really looking forward to that one, but unfortunately wasn't in the cards. So, so I'm good to go either light, heavy, or heavy, but, I'm a smaller heavyweight, I'm 6 foot, 225 compared to, fighting these guys who are cutting down from 300 pounds to make 265. So, it's a bit of a disadvantage, but, I'm comfortable doing both.
Yeah, and you've had some interesting bouts get canceled in the last little while as well, kind of talking about that, Steve Bosse, Sean O'Connell, Robert Drysdale. So I know you have this fight for Unified in June, but are there certain fights you're contemplating right now, certain people you'd want to face, maybe you like a third fight with Martin de Salette? Are there any certain fights you're looking at right now?
Well, I'd love to actually get that shot at Todd Stout. I know he's doing very well in his career. And,
oh, yeah.
And, I'd love to get that. And it looks bad, you know what I mean? I'm really just trying to get back some faith with promoters, to be honest. You know, with my health issues, I've had different health issues before. I had a tumor in my throat removed right before a fight. And also there was a few times that fights fell through, and really I want to get that confidence back with promoters that I'm a good addition to the promotion. So this one, you know, I'm going to hit this one out of the park, and then we'll see what comes from that one.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're getting some certain looks from World Series of Fighting. I know they were interested in having you on, so I feel like this is an interesting kind of time for mixed martial arts. Are you looking to sort of work with Unified because they're an Edmonton promotion and you can get certain fights there, or are you kind of looking outside of that? Are you looking at certain promotions, maybe like Bellator or even Ryzen for that matter, because you've expressed certain interest in maybe getting a fight in Japan?
Oh, I love these. I want to go big with it. I'm not doing this just to, you know, to fight locally. Unified is a great event, and, you know, I'd be more than happy to, you know, string together some fights with them, but I want to go big. You know, the biggest thing with me when I was coming back to fighting is I didn't want to end my career the way I did. You know, my last MMA fight, I blew my knee out with Tanner, and that sent me back a long time, and then health issues, and it's not the way I wanted to end a career. So I want to go out on top and go out strong, and that's my focus, is just take bigger and bigger fights and, you know, make one. I really think this is my last run at, you know, I'm 35. I feel better now having taken time off and focusing on my health and everything a lot more. I feel better than I have in a long time, but, you know, the career is not going to be too much longer. So I want to go big, you know what I mean? If I want to go to the, I want to go back to the big show or go to Japan and see what I can do with this.
Yeah, because I've heard you in past interviews talking about having an interest in, you know, going back to UFC, and that really seemed to be a thing you kept going back to. But now, because there's, I guess, a better landscape now in terms of more places to go to, are you especially hung up on going back to the UFC and just kind of, you know, righting the wrongs in your mind, I guess? Are you trying to get a W back in UFC? Or based on the market now, are you keen to explore your options more than maybe you were before?
Well, I'm not really set on UFC at all. I mean, that's kind of what people consider the big show, but I'm totally good with going to Bellator or to go to Japan. And there's so many big events coming out now. It's great. It's great to be a fighter. I wouldn't mind going back to UFC and doing that, right? I mean, I really don't think I was ready when I went the first time. And, you know, I'd love to do that. And especially with them coming to Edmonton, I really, really want to be on that card. But, I mean, if it's, you know, it doesn't give me a lot of time to get back in the swing of things and get back on the UFC's radar. So, no, I'm definitely not set on it, but I just want to take bigger fights and, you know, challenge myself and see what I can do, you know, with the career that I have left.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were talking about trying to get good faith with promoters going again. Was that specifically about the Todd Stout thing, or was that about the situation with XFFC as well? Do you just feel like your medical issues have created a certain situation where you want to, you know, get back into the swing of things and change perceptions?
Absolutely. I mean, I had a great run in my career for a long time with no issues, and then last few years have been, you know, a lot of issues, and you know, unfortunately, you know, some of them are self-inflicted, you know, from weight cuts and things like this, and some of them, like I had a tumor in my throat that kept me out for a long time. There's a lot of stuff I try not to air to people, but I've had some pretty serious health issues going on, and, you know, one thing people don't know, I'm playing for Unified for free. You know, Sonny offered me money, obviously, but just to build the faith back, I waived everything. So I'm actually fighting in June for free just to prove a point that I'm coming back, I'm doing this for the right reasons.
Well, that's really cool, man. That's a very powerful sort of a thing. But no, it's very interesting that you're talking about going beyond the Edmonton scene, because you've had a number of fights in Edmonton. Seems to be a place you very much enjoy fighting. Is there a different feel kind of fighting in your hometown compared to, say, fighting in Calgary or maybe somewhere else?
Well, I love fighting in Edmonton. We have some of the greatest fans in the world, really. I mean, I was at Unified this past Friday, and it was sold out again for how many shows in a row. I mean, it's a great crowd. I have a ton of support in Edmonton. You know, it's really great fighting there, but I don't want to limit myself to Edmonton. I mean, I love the traveling aspect. You know, I fought in Finland and England and in the States, and you know, so that kind of that side of it's great. But I do absolutely love fighting in Edmonton.
Yeah, for sure. And you're kind of tied to Calgary in a different way as well, putting in work with the UFC gym there. So what was it like being affiliated with that project? And I mean, you're in Calgary right now, correct? You're sort of part-time Edmonton, I think you were saying, but that's sort of where you're at right now, correct?
Yeah, I'm back and forth between Edmonton and Calgary just for business. And it's great that it's going to allow me to get in with different training partners and different camps here. So it's good. I mean, the UFC gym here is good. I mean, I was part of UFC gym in Sherwood Park. We opened the first one in Canada, and it was good. It was a great experience. I met a lot of great people, but I've always been a fairly ambitious guy. So I was, you know, it was time to move on at a point where, you know, I wanted to do some bigger things with my life, and here I am.
Okay, so do you see certain promotions, like what Bellator is doing right now, for instance, more opportunities with sponsorships and whatnot, and there's a certain quality to it where, I guess, there's an entertainment value to it. Do you dig that aspect? Do you see certain shows like that and think, oh, I'd like to, you know, see myself in a position like that?
I love to fight Bellator. They're a great event, and we chatted with them a few years back, and it just wasn't meant to be at the time, but I would love to fight them. And the whole sponsorship thing is a big thing. I'm not a huge fan of the way the UFC is going with, you know, Reebok and the new owners. And it seems that I've met a lot of good people and all the, like, half the staff that I knew when I was there that I still kept in contact with. They're gone now from UFC. Everyone got laid off. And the sponsor thing is a huge thing. I mean, I probably made more money in sponsorship than I ever did with fight pay. I've been pretty fortunate in that aspect. So going to UFC, you know, it would most likely actually be a pay cut from fighting locally.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're talking about the way UFC is going with certain things. I noticed there was an old Instagram photo of you with Mark Pavlik and GSP at an old MFC show back in the day. What are your thoughts on the GSP Bisping fight?
I love it. I love it. I really think GSP is going to win that one. Just style wise, I think it's a great fight. And I've actually known GSP was coming back for a little while. Couldn't really say much about it, though. But I'm happy for him. I think GSP is the best fighter in the world. I think he's really going to make a mark again.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing they're talking about, because they're talking about him beating Michael Bisping, presumably, and then after that, they're going to have it where he wants to do a test cut and then go down and fight Conor McGregor at 155. It seems like his ambitions lie within being the first three-division champion. I mean, at least if you're going off the words of Freddie Roach, who teaches GSP boxing. So I think that's kind of interesting. See what happens with that.
I can see it happening. I think that's been a really tough cut for him. He's not a big guy, but he's not a small guy. I think there'll be a pretty massive cut to 55 for him. So I don't know how that's going to go. But you know, from what I've heard from people at his training camp, is he's at a different level now. Though he's completely changed the game. His time off was great for him to kind of reset him and recharge the batteries. He was pretty burnt out, I guess, and he's just been tearing through guys in training is what I've heard. So. You know, I really think he's going to put a clinic on Bisping. I think Bisping's not taking him too seriously just because of the weight difference, but I think he's going to be surprised.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if he's going to be beating anybody in the, I guess, upper echelon of the middleweight division, I think Michael Bisping would be one of the guys there. But I thought your journey is very cool. I mean, we're talking about all these accolades you have up until this point, but originally you were just sort of, you know, doing it for fun, just kind of training jiu-jitsu and competing in a lot of grappling tournaments. Was there a certain moment where you realized you were committed to MMA and you're like, okay, I'm in this for the long haul?
Yeah, it was, I actually do remember, and it was actually, we were doing a run, and a scales run with Mark Pavlich and Jason McDonald and a few guys way back in the day, right before I fought Jason Day, where I won the MFC belt. It was right about then. Like, I did a few fights at that point, but I actually remember there was a kind of one of those aha moments where I'm like, this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm going to do. And I quit my job and started training full time, and kind of just took off from there. Turns out I wasn't too bad at it, so I just kept going with it.
Yeah, it's cool because you were initially going with the wrestling and the jiu-jitsu, and then it seemed like a lot of, I guess, natural athleticism and aptitude kind of carried you through it as well. I mean, isn't that how you got your nickname there? You were training with Jason McDonald, did like a wild cartwheel, and they're like, oh, we'll call you the Matrix now.
Yeah, the only idea, I can't get rid of that nickname, but yeah, that was it. I did some weird cartwheel backflip thing, and, you know, to pass his guard, and people were wondering what the hell I was doing. But that's one thing, I guess, athleticism has got me through a lot of stuff. And I can, you know, obviously you don't get too experimental in fights, but I can do some pretty crazy stuff that most guys my weight can't do.
It's interesting the statement you made about your nickname there. Is that something you would you rather have a different nickname or like?
I don't know. It's not that bad. That's just like one that stuck with me, and you know, people don't seem to want to drop that one. So I don't really care too much about it.
No, fair enough. I noticed on some profiles your nickname is the Finisher with two N's. You know, implying you'd be of Finnish descent. So I thought I'd kind of talk about. Are you of Finnish descent?
I am. Yeah.
Okay, well that's cool because I saw you fought Rodney Glunder. You did that over there in Finland for M1. I mean, that must have just been a huge experience because you get the big rear naked choke, you're doing a huge backflip celebration, and you got Four Horsemen by Metallica blaring in the background. So what was all that like?
That was amazing. That was one of the best experiences of my life. You know, everything from the lead up to the fight, and the crowd there are amazing. They take it very seriously. They're very similar to the Japanese crowds where they're just very, very quiet until something happens, and then they all start chanting in unison, and it's a really cool experience. The venue was where they held the boxing for the Olympics in Helsinki.
Okay.
It was really cool. It was, and then we ended up staying a few days afterwards and exploring the area and going to Estonia, and it was a really cool one. That's what I'll remember forever.
I just thought it was funny because I was watching the fight, and it was after an interview of yours I'd heard where you were talking about how you're like, oh, I don't usually check out the hip-hop or metal theme songs when I'm coming out. It's more so like all these things that I've done by the Killers. That's you. So I thought it was kind of funny that Four Horsemen by Metallica is going in the background. It's this wild thrash metal after all that.
Yeah, well, that wasn't my choice. That was just them blaring whatever they wanted to do. But it was pretty cool for sure.
Yeah, it was a very cool experience, something very amazing to be a part of, I would have to think. But, I mean, you were a part of something very amazing with the growth of MFC because, I mean, that was at a very grassroots time in the MMA scene in Canada. The promotion was huge, and I thought it was cool because your debut went down in Grand Prairie, Alberta, which is my neck of the woods here. So how do you put any stock in that, in the fact that you helped build up this promotion and then kind of by, I guess, a greater extension, the overall Canadian MMA scene? Is that something you think about, or is it important to you?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in you know, what I've done, and you know, I haven't at all times been the greatest model of, you know, of professionalism, but I've done a lot of cool things, and you know, that's one of them. And you know, I still, you know, quite often get younger fighters coming up and say that, you know, I was part of an inspiration or part of why they got into something, or you know, they grew up watching my fights, and that's part of the reason they got into fighting. And that sort of thing means a lot to me. I mean, there's, you know, I could retire right now and you know, and know that I've done some cool things in my career, but, you know, I'm far from done. I think I can do a lot more with it. But, I mean, that's a huge thing for me is, you know, I was here when it was called No Holds Barred, before it was even MMA.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, people asking what I did, and I said, oh, you know, No Holds Barred. Like, oh, that's like a human cockfighting thing, right? I'm like, oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, the John McCain statement back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was, you know, you have to explain what it was, and then all of a sudden I remember, like, the Ultimate Fighter 1 came out with, you know, Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin, and after that it was just, wasn't the same. You know, people would, you know, I was getting stopped, but that's right when I was in my swing of things, too, so, you know, people getting stopped at the mall and taking pictures and stuff like that, so it's changed a lot, but I've been, you know, I've been here since pretty much the beginning. I mean, there might have been a few, I think there was TKO in Montreal, like, before MFC started, but that was only a couple events in, so I think we were, you know, one of the pioneers in Canada.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. I was wondering if it was, yeah, something you considered, but, I mean, obviously it's something you do. But it's interesting how things come full circle. You were talking about how some fighters come up to you now, and they're like, oh, big inspiration for me getting into this. But you sort of had that with Dan Severn, because you were watching him back in the day. He was one of the guys who got you into the sport, and you fought him after a three-year layoff from competition, which I find pretty amazing. And you sort of had that moment where you're like, holy shit, I'm fighting Dan Severn. So what was all that like?
Just like you said, it was, holy shit, I'm fighting Dan Severn. I remember looking across, and I was like, wow, okay, this one's surreal. This one's pretty crazy, but it was an experience. But then I actually remember in the first round when I hit him, and I caught him, and he was bleeding, where I said, you know what, it's just another man, and it's, you know, not some huge, thing, and just fight him like anyone else, and it ended up going pretty well.
And that's a cool guy to get in there with, because Dan Severn's one of those guys who just has so many fights. Like, I think he has like 100 professional bouts, probably has a number of others that aren't even documented. So just a wealth of experience, and then you get to sort of be in the cage with that. And then you also got victories over Jason Day and Vernon White. So, I mean, it would have to have been a pretty good come up, you know, in terms of building your confidence and getting some marquee wins sort of early on in your fighting career.
Yeah, that was it was definitely a really cool time. And then, you know, after Vernon White, I got signed with UFC, and it was a really cool time for things. And I was called it after that, because I ended up losing to Sakara in UFC. And then after that, when I came back, I won 7 in a row, you know, and I knocked 6 of them out. And, you know, so I was pretty confident I was going to go back to UFC then. But, you know, never got the call. And you know, there's a lot of factors that come into that, though, too. I've been off for a while and rehabbing and getting back at it. So I'm hoping to kind of do a repeat of that whole thing and get back in, take some big fights, try to repeat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's certainly potential for that. I mean, based on your career, you don't seem like one of those guys who gets terribly affected by ring rust. That's an interesting thing. I mean, you see people nowadays like Dominic Cruz coming back, and they look excellent. And then you see someone like, you know, Chael Sonnen, for example, who doesn't look the most stellar when he returns. So what do you think about ring rust? Is it something that just kind of varies from person to person?
I think so. I think it's definitely an individual thing. For me, it's always been when I've taken a break, and I've had a few pretty big breaks in my career where, for me, it was like recharging the batteries. I came back and I felt better. You know, I came in fresh-minded, and, you know, when you're fighting consistently and always training and always dieting, it's pretty draining on you. So for me, it was great. Like, I just recharged the batteries and came back feeling better. But I know some people, they need to stay in competition to feel sharp. So, like a guy like Chael Sonnen, he doesn't seem to take that well the time off, but, you know, for myself, it was always a plus.
Yeah, and I've noticed that throughout your career. I mean, like I was saying before, the Dan Severn victory came after a three-year bit of inactivity from competition, but I wanted to touch on your UFC run a little bit, because with the whole David Heath fight, I thought it was cool. It was the first UFC event that was on a military base, and they've only done that a few times, really. Tim Kennedy spoke about the atmosphere, and I mean, it meant something to him as someone who had, you know, served with the military and done certain things like that. But did you have a certain perspective on it? Was there a different vibe you noticed as it differed from a normal fight venue? And how so?
That was amazing. That was a great, great trip. I ended up hitting it off with you know, tons of Marines there. And I still think I won that fight. That's one of those ones I'm going to go down fighting until I die. I won that fight. And I lost a split decision, but, you know, I had Dana White come up to me. I had Herb Dean, the ref, come up to me after, and everybody say that I won that fight. And so it was a little disappointing, but the atmosphere was insane. It was actually in an airplane hangar in Miramar where they filmed Top Gun. And, you know, as I'm fighting, you can hear jets taking off outside. And
that's cool.
You know, choppers flying over, and it was a really, really cool experience.
No, that sounds really awesome. You've had some really cool experiences through your career. Like, I talked about that whole Rodney Glunder situation as well. I mean, yeah, I mean, certainly the live environment would have to play into it a little bit in terms of how you're doing and all that. But you had a moment in MFC where there was a thumb in your eye and a detached retina and all of that. Do you feel like that had a certain effect on you in terms of, like, maybe the live crowd I guess, helping you out through that? Because that fight was sort of in your neck of the woods there. Do you think things... did the adrenaline factor play into it in a way where it helped you in that situation? Like, would it have been worse, theoretically, if you were somewhere else and that type of injury happened?
I don't think so. That one was... of any of my injuries I've ever had, and I've had quite a few, that was probably my most painful thing with Roger Holland. It was not intentional, but got thumb in the eye pretty badly, and most painful thing I've ever had in my fighting career, and it put me out pretty quickly. So I don't think anything was going to help me in that aspect. But when I'm in there, I'm pretty focused on what's going on. So the crowd doesn't affect me that much. I mean, in Finland, it was very, very cool and they started chanting, but for the most part, it doesn't really affect me. I'm tuning most of it out.
Okay, that's cool. So that's interesting. So you're just kind of localizing your focus on, just your opponent, just the guy across from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it for sure. And, I mean, very, early on in the interview, you were talking about how you were at U of A because of some complications with your kidneys. But you also took part in a very interesting study. They were sort of comparing the rate of injuries between MMA fighters and boxers. Was that something you were, really keen to take part in terms of, like, you wanted to see... what the results were yourself. And I mean, you were good for it because you're a 14-year practitioner of all that. But yeah, what was it like being part of a study like that, comparing MMA and boxing injuries?
It was pretty cool. It's not something I set out to do. They ended up approaching me about it, and it was something that was cool to be a part of. I mean, if there's anything with my experience that could help somebody out potentially, I'm down for it. So... there was that one I did, and then I did another one actually on weight cutting that they presented at the ABC conference, which is the big commission conference they have every year, and about the downfalls of weight cutting. And, if I had any part, chat with the commission, they said that, they used me as a case study with my health issues from weight cutting, and they said potentially they're bringing in new weight classes and new weight cutting rules and all this. And if I had any part of potentially changing that scene where, there's going to be less injuries or there's no deaths because of weight cuts or brain injuries in that study's case, I'd be pretty proud to be a part of some, positive change with that.
And yeah, I mean, you've collected titles all throughout your career, the TFC light heavyweight title, MFC title, you've competed at both heavyweight and light heavyweight. But I mean, the thing with MMA, I mean, let's be honest, heavyweight is basically an open weight division for the most part. So, I mean, we're seeing more women's divisions popping up lately. Do you think in the next few years that we're going to have a cruiserweight class in MMA for the men?
Well, I've heard it's approved. I heard from the commission that it is approved. It's just events basically have to assimilate it now and basically bring it in. And I think it's going to happen. I think, as the sport continues to grow, they're going to want more divisions, more belt fights. I think it's a smart decision, and I'm waiting for it for myself because I'm kind of a tweener. I'm a little bit big for light heavyweight and a little bit small for heavyweight. So if they bring in that cruiserweight, I've heard they're going to do either 220 division or 225 division. I've heard it could be either, and that'd be perfect for me because that's right where I sit, and I could go in healthy and not fight the monsters and not kill myself cutting weight. So I'd be really excited for them to bring more divisions in.
Yeah, and I think they need to at this point because, like I said, heavyweight division is pretty much an open weight division, and in a way that's sort of interesting. It's sort of like a throwback to, the old school days. But you kind of feel bad, like the heavyweight fight we saw recently with King Mo and with Rampage Jackson. Like, Mo was on the scales, like, I think tops 212, and then you see Rampage coming in at 253. It's like they're in the same weight class here. It's a little strange.
Oh yeah, I'm not a small guy either, but I've fought at heavyweight and I've trained with heavyweights and quite a few high level ones, and there is a big difference. I don't care what they say, size does matter. Obviously there's different factors like cardio and speed and agility and all this stuff, but I mean, if I'm 220 and I'm getting hit by a guy who's cutting from 280 or 290, there's a big difference. Your jaw doesn't get any bigger, with the weight, being in a bigger weight class. So, there is a big difference. When you got a guy who's like a guy like Dan Severn, he got on top of me. It's not fun. You know what I mean? There's definitely a big advantage there.
Yeah, I would imagine for sure. And you are practicing wrestling a lot lately, and well, on and off with University of Edmonton there, and you do a lot of boxing training, have had some pro experience. What exactly do you listen to while you're training? Do you have particular genres you're into? I mean, we talked about how you're into, you know, coming out with like a chill theme song with the Killers, but is there a certain genre or artist that you tend to listen to a lot when you're training?
Yeah, I listen to all sorts of different stuff, but you know, favorite band's probably Kings of Leon. You know, it's
nice.
It's a little more relaxed than you think. I mean, a lot of fighters I know, they're not the, you know, they're not cranking heavy music all the time. They're pretty relaxed guys, you know. So I listen to just about everything, but, you know, pretty relaxed stuff most of the time.
Yeah, and that makes sense because, I mean, if you're listening to something that's super high energy and just like, oh, like trying to really like drive you forward, you might just gas out in a certain way before you get out there and get, like, you might get too into it if you're playing something that fired up.
Exactly, and just the way I am, I'm very relaxed. Like, half the time I'm taking a nap before they call me out, and I don't have a lot of nerves. You know, there's obviously nerves, you're about to get into a ring, but with experience, I've kept it under control, so I'm pretty relaxed when I go in. Like, I don't really get too affected by anything like that.
Yeah, the mental game's certainly a large part of all that, but with your fight with Lou Pauly, that seemed to be the one big fight where you had to really dig down deep. I believe you called it your most difficult fight. You won a belt, but you had to dig down deep over 25 minutes. So do you think that was a very important sort of necessary moment to sort of see, you know, how you would react just in the thick of a situation like that?
Oh, absolutely. That's my benchmark fight. That is actually my goal, to be in that shape and that mental toughness and that, you know, that focus for fights moving forward. I'm a big goal person. I've actually sat down and that's kind of my prototype of, if I could fight every fight in that shape and in that readiness, I would never lose a fight. I could have fought anyone that night and beat them. So that's kind of where I'm aiming at, is just to be right at that level.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a very, very entertaining fight to watch. But you're a very entertaining guy on social media. You seem to always be cracking jokes and whatnot. Have you ever thought about getting a podcast going or something of that nature?
Not really. I've had a couple people ask me, but it's not something I've really actively looked at. But I have a few comedian friends always trying to get me out. But I figure I'm just funny when I have time to mull it over and not post half the stuff that I'm going to post.
Oh, so yeah, it's one of those things. You just, like, maybe you wouldn't want to do it in like a podcast sort of scenario, like right there in the moment.
Maybe potentially. I've never really put a lot of thought on it.
Maybe you can do a stand-up set over at Verdum's Comedy Club. He just opened one in Brazil. I think that would work out.
Yeah.
Just learning a little Portuguese, something like that. But no, I thought that was, I thought it was cool, you know, keeping it lighthearted and everything like that. I guess it sort of goes along with what you're talking about with your personality a little bit before. But, I mean, outside of fighting, what do you like to do to keep you just, you know, removed from fighting where you're not totally focusing on it all the time? I mean, you seem to enjoy shooting ranges, going outdoors a fair bit. So you seem to be a proud dad. Do you have other hobbies as well, or just certain things like that, those other elements in your life? Is that what keeps you grounded and keeps you moving in fighting?
Yeah, I mean, fighting's obviously a big thing. You know, if you're doing it, you got to focus on that. There's a lot of, you know, you have to commit to it. But I like to take myself out of it a lot as well. I mean, I'm very outdoorsy. Part of the reason why I went to Calgary half the time is you know, just to be close to the mountains. And I like to be outdoors as much as possible. Like you said, the shooting range, you know, going, you know, kayaking, things like this. Like, just being outside and being in nature and, you know, taking my daughters as much as I can, and you know, and then work is extremely busy, so I'm, you know, caught up doing that, and it gives me a good balance.
Yeah, you're working with Alarm Guard Security Services to Calgary and Red Deer right now, correct?
Yes, I started an office. I have one in Edmonton. I'm in the process of opening an office in Calgary, and obviously a lot of work, but it's very rewarding. Things are going really, really well with it.
Yeah, and you seem to be diversifying what you're doing. I mean, you're obviously focusing on fighting in a way where you're talking about you want to go to a main stage in the future, but you also have certain efforts in place to, I guess, you know, fall back on and have at your disposal in the future. So I think that's very savvy of you to do that. I thought it was funny you posted the Pros of running my own business. Way too busy to post smart-ass judgmental Facebook rants. And he said, cons of running my own business. Way too busy to post smart-ass judgmental Facebook rants. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But, I mean, it is a good endeavor to, you know, be involved in, because it seems all too often fighters, you know, don't have that sort of fallback or something that's more secure than fighting.
Well, I learned my lesson a long time ago, you know, especially some of the injuries I've had that keep you, you know, out of the gym for a long time. I don't know why people can go 6 months, 9 months without a paycheck. And, you know, I have kids and I have, a lot of expenses. And, you know, so I always needed something, you know, something else to focus on and bring in money. And that's why I'm in the position I am right now with fighting. Like, I can fight for Unified for free because I don't need the money, you know. I want to do it for the right reasons. You know, I can do it because I love to do it. I don't need to do it to make a paycheck. I don't need to go out there and hustle tickets and sponsors. I mean, they're nice, and, you know, I still get tickets for people I know. And but it's not a stress in my life, which is good, because I can focus on the training and the actual fighting part of things.
Well, that's good to hear, man. I mean, you've given me a lot of your time right now, though. I mean, anything you want to add as we wrap up here?
No, I'm just excited, man. It's I feel refreshed. You know, anyone who's known that knows me closely, you know, knows there's a lot of big differences than there has been in the past, and a lot of, you know, changes for the good. So I'm just excited to get out there and prove a lot of people wrong. I know a lot of people with my injuries and stuff have kind of written me off, and, you know, I want to build up some good faith with people again. And you know, I'm doing this the right way, and I'm coming out and I'm going to do this as good as I can and put everything I've got into it and see what I can do with my career.
Absolutely, and I look forward to that. Going to be back in action in June for Unified. Certainly looking forward to seeing that fight come together. But yeah, thanks so much for your time. That was King of the Cage veteran, also UFC competitor, MFC fighter. Thanks for the time, Victor Valimaki. And yeah, hopefully you enjoy the rest of your night, man.
Thanks again for having me.